Afternoon, Lord, that thy loving kindness, Lord, is better than whatever we can gain in this life. Oh, living God, is it riches? Is it anything that we can think of in this life, Lord? Without you, they are nothing, Lord, and they will perish with this world, Father. But if we have you in our lives, Lord Jesus, your love in our lives, your grace upon our lives, Father, is better than the riches and the things of this world, Master. We are grateful unto thee for your love that saved our souls. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Loving Savior, we pray you take all the glory, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Thank you for this opportunity that we have, Lord Jesus, to be in your house today, and the blessing we have received, Master, already in the service that have gone, O living God. Thank you for your servants. Thank you for your people, O living God. Lord Jesus, this last one we commit to your great holy hands, Father, just to encourage ourselves and admonish ourselves, Lord Jesus, in the will of righteousness. May you help us, Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts, O living God. Lord, may something be said that we may, Master, Lord, that we may great, O living God, in the hearts of somebody, Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, it is your word, Master, and your word is quick and powerful. It is sharper than two-edged sword, O God. You said the word that I speak unto thee, they are spirit and they are life, O living God. May that, Master, may your word, Master, accomplish its purpose in our life this afternoon, so this evening, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, manifest yourself in the midst of your people, Heavenly Father. Give us understanding, Lord. Give us revelation. Speak to our heart, O God. Heart to what you have done for us already, Heavenly Father. So at the end of this service this evening, we have every cause to glorify thy great holy name, Master. Thank you for granting this request, Father. Blessed be thy name, Master. In Jesus Christ's name, we have prayed. Amen. God bless you. You are welcome to the last service of the day this evening or this afternoon. Let's open our Bible to Psalm 63. Like I said on Wednesday, we want to look at this other part of the scripture that Brother Abraham used to preach this sermon, Tasks for Life, Life and the Rest of Days. Sermons that we preach along this line. Psalm 63, verses 1 to 3, because of our time. O God, thou art my God, hardly will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. May the Lord Jesus add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his perfect word. God bless you. You can have your seat. This evening, I intend that we read, but I don't know. Pray that the blessed Holy Spirit will have his way. God bless you. Now, we'll be talking about this aspect of his loving kindness, which is better than life. That Brother Brown used to preach this sermon, Thirst for Life. He preached so many sermons along that line. So, but this evening, I want us to look at one aspect of that sermon. Brother Bram talked about, let's look a little at the what of a Christian. What do we want? Are the people of the world, do they want more than a Christian? In the sight of God, do a sinner want more than a Christian? Should a sinner intimidate a Christian to the point that a Christian will have to go in the will of a sinner? That is what I want us to look this afternoon. Before we do that, let's look at this sermon. Life that he preached in 570602. 570602, paragraph 88, we read to 111. Life, 570602. Okay. This, what we call life now, is only a shadow or a negative. We all like to rejoice, but we can rejoice over the right thing. That shows that we are hooked up with the real thing when we rejoice over the right thing. But when we rejoice over the wrong thing, it shows we are hooked up with the wrong thing. So our life can tell right now what we have, what way our emotions are running. Do we see? If we are rejoicing over the world and the evil things, our minds and our souls are inspired by below. Boogie woogies, dances, art is, drinking, all these other things that we run after is from below. But if we rejoice in the spirit that we have eternal life, and we raise our emotion to God and praise Him, then we have joy. Then we have joy that your joy might be full, Jesus said, but not full of the perverted life, but full of eternal life above. So you can see it depends on what you look at. Now, just for instance, for the psychology part of it, psychiatric, now let's notice just a moment this psych view. Here is the picture of Christ, and here is an electric fan. It depends on what one I look at. Like if you are looking at this one, or you are looking at Christ. Okay. It depends on what one I look at. See, if my emotion is moved this way or my emotion is moved that way, if I look at that, As long for that and desire that, my emotion is set towards the fan. And if I'm looking at this fan, and I love the fan, and that is what all I see, that is what all I desire, my emotion will move toward that. But if I look at Jesus, and my emotion is moved towards him, that is where, okay, let me say it the way Abraham said. Okay. But if I look this way, my emotion and my desire is set that way. That's the reason Jesus said, whosoever look upon a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. See, is where your emotion is set, where your thought is. And then we can rejoice on because that we are the children of the promise. On the great eternal church of God, who has Christ's own promise, it can't fail. That's right. The world thinks we are crazy. Oh, this is life. Whoopee. I am this day to see a young lady who went to an Isocrates. She is 35 years old. Never smoked, never drank in all her life. A very fine girl. Her people are Christians. Her father is a doctor. Gave her life to Christ in early stage. And what did she do? She goes out and she finally gets to a place, to a college where she was teaching, and a Socrates there, he sits down to talk to her, and he said, you mean that you have never kissed a boy? You mean that you have never been kissed by a boy? She said, not one time in all my life. You mean you have never had a little drink and been in a party? The girl said, never. Said, girl, you don't know what you are missing. Now, him being a Socrates, he swing the girl's mind. Until now, she has become so evil and so bad till she didn't even want to hear the name of Jesus spoke in her presence. And even her father and mother can't even see her no more. And she has lost her mind. And this next week, we go to the institution for short treatment. And for shock treatment is because that she turned her thought from Christ until what the Socrates was a moving her mind. Now, okay, little children, the elderly one will understand. If any one of the little children has 5,000 euro, I think that's the highest. That's the higher currency. If an elderly person, if one of these young ones had 5,000 euro in his hand, and he meets somebody that has 5,000 naira, maybe the one that has 5,000 naira is a little elderly. And he said, oh, you are holding 5,000 euro. What can that one buy you in this Nigeria? I will show you that my 5,000 naira can buy a lot of things in the market. Why your 5,000 euro cannot buy you much? Huh. And maybe the girl does not know the worth of what she's having. He said, okay, you, let's go to the market and test it. You bring that your 5,000 euro. And the girl foolishly give her 5,000 euro. Yeah, let's go to the market. Will she see him when they get to the market? The man will corner run away from the boy. He has gone with his 5,000 euro. Because he knows the worth of what he or she is having in his hand. He knows he's only just deceiving that little one. That is the way somebody who doesn't know what he's holding as a Christian will give away what he has to go and live the way of the world. Praise the Lord. Because if you know the worth of what you are holding, the devil will not be able to deceive you. and you throw away the true life that you are holding to be living a vulgar life. It's a deceit of the enemy. So we've got to know our works. We've got to know. See, don't let any man or woman deceive you by what the possession they have of this world, the possession they have of this life. A Christian, we are coming. May God help us. I'm reading the prophet, oh, just bear with me. Okay? And it's here in the sermon for us to do what? The God told Abraham to store it. Because we do what? We have need of it. Okay, the Socratic swinger mind. Okay. Paragraph 98. And that is what we are here for this morning, is to move your mind and your thinking from the things of the world. Did you hear that? Until the things of God, which is eternally, which is eternally, and that is what preaching is for, is to present, not pervert, maybe a slip of tongue, the thinking to a higher and better, and to place where Christ is until you become converted. Then your mind reaches for those things which are above. Now, but life in this other place got to the girl. Gets to the girl. They are thinking she might take poison at any time. Sure, life becomes so miserable that type of life until they kill themselves, take poison and everything. Now, but God, in his great economy for mankind, has made man in the way that he wanted man to be. Now he made man to thirst. Did you notice David here said, my soul thirsted for thee. Oh, I love that. As in a dry land where there is no water. Just imagine, said, my soul is so thirsty, God, I am thirsting for you. Just think, just like I was in a land where there was no water. He must find water or perish. My soul is thirsting for thee. Now God made a man with a thirst. That is part of the human being. In his thirst. But God made a thirst in man to thirst for God. And the devil has perverted it and make it a thirst for his kingdom, for the world. Do you get it? The thirst in a man is godly, for God made the man to thirst for God. And how dare some of you who wanted to be so little as to try to quench that blessed thirst, and that blessed thing of thirst, by trying to satisfy that with drinking and smoking and television and running and carrying on and reviling around, trying to satisfy that godly thing that God put in you to thirst for him. You are polluting the fountain that God has placed in you to receive his spirit. And you are drowning it with the things of the world. And they do not satisfy. They never will satisfy. And that is the reason you put a piston to your brain to blow them out. It's because that thing go the way they do. And the world is on the great suicide, on a perversion, and a homosexual, and the crime is in the land the way it is. It's because they are perverting the verity that God gave them. And thirsting to satisfy it with the evil of the world. Take that blessed Holy Spirit that God placed the task in your soul to call for, and you satisfy it with a nightclub somewhere. No wonder you get a headache the next morning. Then you will take a case of beer and go to the house and sit down and drink it. Try to satisfy that godly thirst that God put in your soul to thirst after him, and take the devil's lot and try to satisfy the thirst that God put in you to thirst after him. How can you receive anything but eternal separation from the presence of the Almighty God when he made you to thirst after him? And David surrendered himself and said, my soul is thirsty like I was in the dry land where there is no water. I thirst for thee, O God. There you have. David said, I've seen thee in the sanctuary, and my soul thirsts for that power. There you have. That is the difference. That is what makes things different, is the task that God gives you. If you satisfy it with the water, capital water. Come unto me, all ye that thirst. Come and drink from the fountain of life freely, without money, without price. There is a fountain open in the house of God, in the city of David. There is a fountain that you are thirsting for, certainly it is. Don't try to pervert it by trying to say, I will satisfy it by drinking. I will satisfy it by having a date with this girl. I will sleep out a little of my husband. I will go out a little of my wife. You are only heaping judgment. You say, I'm not satisfied, but Abraham, no wonder. Is God dealing with you? God's trying to bring you to something, and you take the devil's suggestion and go off with it. And that is the way sorrow comes. That is how death comes. And that life is not the true life. It is death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life to them that will receive it. Oh, do not be deceived. Then the devil has another way. We just had a moment yet for this. The devil has another way to pervert beside. Say, I say I don't drink, but Abraham, I don't smoke, I don't gamble, I won't run out on my husband or my wife. I will live a good life. But the devil has perverted that. He lets you think to satisfy your guilty conscience that you go join a church and you are all right. That is wrong. That is perverting. You can't get satisfied by joining a church. You only become mentor, and it is an intellectual affair. But you will never be satisfied until you know him as the forgiveness of your sin, where the sin question is settled, and you have that lovely, peaceful, quiet, eternal, everlasting fellowship with him. When the peace of God has passed all, when the peace of God that passed all understanding has sanctified your soul and has made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Joining church won't do it. No, sir. That is only perverting the real cause. If the devil can't get you out of those things, he will take you to disorder. But don't settle for nothing less than an old-fashioned experience of the new birth, to be born again of the spirit of eternal God. When your soul and God unite together and you become one. Praise the Lord. We've been told this morning that coming to church, coming to the message of the word, is the right place. There's no doubt about that. That is the truth. But don't sit down a church member. Don't think that you are sitting down a church member is all that you have to do. You've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. That is the will of God. Not just sitting down as a church member. You come to church every Sunday, every Wednesday, when you like, when you don't like, and you think that is all you need to do. Do your religious duty. May God have mercy on us. We are saying the truth by the grace of God. You don't sit down and say that I'm a member of Christ's bride tabernacle. Christ's bright tabernacle will not take us to heaven. Only the Christ of Christ's bright tabernacle will take us to heaven. Praise the Lord. We must be born again. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Not just to be a church member and sit down as a church member. May God help us. Now let's come to this. Let me jump a little. I think I've read this part of this before. Then when they used to take those slaves, and buyers will come by and buy them, and they will go out and look around and find the big and I'm reading from 60:03-04. Task for life. 60:03-04. Task for life. Reading from started from paragraph 88. Also. 60:03-04. Okay. Paragraph. Let's go to. Okay. Let me read again. Then when they used to take those slaves, and buyers will come by and buy them, and they will go out and look around and find the big and healthy and swap a lesser one to him or something another, just like you would a used car or something on the lot. Get a bill of sales by it. Oh, it was terrible. And one day a broker came by an old plantation where they had many slaves. And the slave that brought over here, and they were sad. They had been away from their homes and never would see papa no more, mama no more, babies no more. Drug away and sold over here to die in this strange land. And they were sad. And many times they get them to walk. They will take whips and whip them with them to make them walk, always scolding them. And a certain broker came by this plantation, and he said to the owner, "Have you any slave?" He said, "I have 100 or something here. Look over them." And they noticed one young slave. He seems to be different from the rest of them. They never had to whip him. Right up, chin up, shoulder up, ready to do anything, and he just always encouraged the rest of them. Straighten up, let's walk. They wonder why. So this broker said to the owner, he said, "I would like to buy that slave." He said, "No, but it's not for sale." He said, "Why isn't he for sale?" Said, "He's a slave, isn't it?" Said, "He's a slave." He said, "Well, why wouldn't you sell him?" He said, "Because I don't want to sell him." Said, "Well, I want to ask you something. What makes him so different from the rest of them? Is he the boss of the rest?" He said, "No, he's a slave." And the broker said to the owner, "Perhaps, maybe you feed him just a little bit different and better." Said, "No, he is out of the galley with the rest of the slave. He is just a slave." "Well," said then, "I want to ask you something." Said, "Why is it that he conducts himself different? Why is it that he is so different from the rest of them?" The owner said, "I wonder for a long time myself, but one day I find out over in the old country where he came from, his father is the king of the tribe." And said, "Though he's an alien and is over here, away from his people, yet in his heart, he knows he's the son of a king, and he conducts himself like one. Oh, I thought, no matter what we may have to go through with, if it is trial, if it is heartache, if it is persecution, if it is to be laughed at and made fun of, what kind of a people ought we to be? We are sons and daughters of the king. though we be in an unwelcomed world, though we be to a place where we are hated, maybe called Sandero's name, like Holy Roller, Pentecostal tongues, what difference does it make? We ought to have our chin up, our shoulder out, believing God's word, because across the land yonder, our Father is the King. Praise the Lord. Across the land yonder, my Father is the King. And I think it is a ridiculous shame when I see King's daughter wearing the kind of cloth that they wear in these days. When I see King's son smoking cigarettes and drinking whiskey and a little drink of beer, how that is not becoming as the son of the King of Heaven. Our Father is rich with houses and land. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hand, of rubies and diamonds, of silver and gold. His coffers are full. He has riches untold. We are the child of a king. No matter how poor we are, how we have to be run over, how the world talks about you and say everything about you, it ought to make you keep head up for the moral of the rest of them. We should never have words against one another. We should always say the highest thing about a brother or a sister. If one is down in the gutter, don't never show them any further down. Pick him up. Get him out of there as quickly as you can, because it helps. We should be an example. We should live an example, like we are sons and daughters of God, the eternal King. We ought to conduct ourselves in that manner as sons and daughters of the King. We should never do nothing that will bring his grace. Praise the Lord. Now I want to read from Israel 5303:29. Israel and the church. That is verse 5. Israel and the church, 5303:29, from paragraph 102. Just follow as we go on. 5303:29. Okay, paragraph 102. Now, my brother, tonight we are on our road to the promised land. In a few minutes, we will be burying people here in this baptism pool for the remission of their sins, believing on the Lord Jesus. And I want to say this: if you haven't made your calling and election sure in Christ, may you make it tonight. You say, "Well, Brother Abraham, God don't want me. I haven't worth nothing." Yes, you have. Not long ago, I was standing at a museum down at Tennessee, and I was looking at different things, and I've seen the analysis of a human body, of a man that will weigh 50 pounds. You know how much he was. How much is worth? 84 cents in chemical. 84 cents. A human body weighing 150 pounds worth 84 cents in chemical. But me, just about enough calcium to do a certain thing, and enough whitewash to sprinkle a hen's net, and so forth like that. Just all a little bitty thing you have. 84 cents. But you will put $100 fur coat around that 84 cents. Stick your nose up in the air and walk on like you were somebody. For $50 hat on top of that 84 cents. There was a fellow standing there said, "Say, we are not worth very much. Are we judged?" I turned around and I said, "But boy, your body aren't worth very much. But you got a soul is worth 10 million worth. What about that? He was showing his muscles, how big he was. I said, what about that? Man likes to brag on what they have. Not long ago, out in the West, I was having a meeting. I went home with an old rancher for dinner. Oh, and some of his people had been healed. He had given me a check there that would have bought me 45 of these tabernacle. 45 of these tabernacle. That's Bram tabernacle. That time. If I will have wanted, I said, I don't want your money. Howard, my brother, was with me, said, Billy, why didn't you take that check? I said, I don't want his money. Let me live day by day. Not money I'm after. I'm one to serve the Lord Jesus. He stood there when the woman was ill out yonder, the Melikians in California. You see it here in the Losby paper. When they came here, two of those agents and brought $1,500,000 and offered it to me when I lived in this two-room shack. I said, I don't even want to look at it. How many million? $1,500,000 that time. And Baba was living in a two room. Baba said, I don't need his money or her money. I said, I don't even want to look at it. No, sir. No, sir. The love of money is the root of all evil. Keep away from that stuff. This rancher walked out of there. He said, Reverend Braham. I said, yes, sir. He said, you see the mountains over yonder? I said, yes, sir. How far you think they are away? I said, I don't know. Said, they are 80 miles. Said, I hope plumb to that. I'm plumb beyond that. He is my guessing ground. This man holds a vast of land. Said, it's my guessing ground. I said, my, that is wonderful. He said, I see down in there, see that city. He said, I hold the bank in that city. I hold all the ground down around there. And I hold this way. Oh, all he hold stopped in his little station wagon. I look at him. Very nice man. I lay my hands on his shoulder. I said, brother, I want to ask you a question. He said, all right. I said, look right this up. Look right up this away. How much did you hold up that way? How much did you hold up there? See, he said, brother Abraham, I'm afraid I don't owe anything there. Mercy. I said, there is where my treasure are laying now. I don't have nothing down here. Whether I hold a tent or a cottage, why should I care? They are building a palace for me over there of rubies and diamond and silver and gold. His covers are full and his riches untold. Yes, sir. That is where the riches lay. The real riches lay there. Over here, the best you can stay here is to stay 200 years. But over there is eternity. Oh, mercy. May God help us. I said, one of us said something sometimes ago, that Judas Iscariot is still serving up to today. Let's say he lived 50 years that time. And up to today, he's still serving in hell. Compare the 50 years he stayed here on earth and the number of years he has served, about 2,000 years now in hell. How can you compare the two? I don't care. He went to hell because of what? Money. So don't be intimidated by riches. Don't be intimidated by money or position on anything. You want more than that. Praise the Lord. A child of God wants more than all these riches and money. It's good. Money is good here or not. Nobody wants to suffer. I don't want to suffer either. But then, if it is money, whether money or no money, I prefer Christ to money. I don't want money. I want Jesus Christ in my soul. Praise ye the Lord. Don't be intimidated by money. What is money? You enjoy life and at the end you lose your soul. Which one is better? Your heart, okay. And where your treasure is, your heart is also. Yes, sir. Okay. Paragraph 110. They was taking a love offering one time for Gypsy Smith. And when they went back in the back of the building, okay, to go out that night, there was a poor little ragged girl standing there. Her cloth was all torn off of her. She had something. She said she wanted to see Mr. Smith. So Gypsy Smith said, "What do you want, darling?" Said, "Mr. Smith, I didn't have any money to give you, but said about a month ago, it was Christmas, and somebody gave me a lollipop. And I love you so much." Mr. Smith said, "My daddy got saved. He is not a drunkard now, because he used to be drunkard. And in the meeting of Pastor or Brother Smith, the man got saved. So this girl is now thanking God in the life of Brother Smith. My daddy got saved. He is not a drunkard now," said. "I thought I would bring you this lollipop." Mr. Smith took it in his hand. Tears rolled down his cheeks, patted her on the hand. He said, "Honey, in my offering tonight lays as much as thousands of dollars in checks, but this is the greatest gift that I've got of all of it. It comes from your little humble heart. Oh man, what you've got tonight, friend, you are not nothing anyhow. Why don't you give all you have got to Christ? Come, let's cross this Jordan. Let's go over and possess the land. You say, well, brother, you know I've got a good job in this city. I belong to a certain organization in this city. What are you anyhow? Give what you've got over to him. Let's gather up here around the Jordan and cross over tonight. Go over into the promised land. May the Lord help you. I pray that he will." Don't let us bow our heads yet. Praise the Lord. With the little time remaining, okay. Yeah, I think we've all right. Jesus Christ said, "What will it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? Or what will a man give as an exchange for his soul?" Now, let's look, of course, we all know the story of this rich young ruler. After he left with sadness, let's hear what Jesus our Lord said. Mark chapter 10. Verse 23 to 31. Mark chapter 10, from verse 23 to verse 31. And Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?" And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eyes of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, said, With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house and brethren and sister or father or mother or wives or children or land for my sake and the gospel, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, and houses and brethren and sisters and mother and children, lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, what? Eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. If we surrender everything to Jesus, this is what I used to tell the little ones. Who tells you that you will be poor all the days of your life? If you surrender all to Jesus, who tells you that poverty is what you are going to live with all the days of your life? Who says so? God can bless you. He can choose to bless you and make you rich, believing on him. And he can choose to just supply your need as you have need of him, of it. So, nothing says that when we surrender our life to Jesus Christ, we will be poor. Nothing says so. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's read the other one. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 to 34. Matthew chapter 6, from verses 24 to 34. While we try to close. Therefore I say unto you, no, sorry, from verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either you will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Brother Brown said mammon is what? The world. Therefore I said unto you, take no thought for your life what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not this life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto the stature? And why take ye thought for the raiment? Consider the lily of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Praise ye the Lord. What Jesus Christ commanded us is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said all these other things that we are running after will be what? Added unto us. He didn't say we will not have them. He promised to supply our needs according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. And nothing says, I say it again, nothing says if we give or surrender our life to Jesus Christ, we'll be poor. Nothing says so. That is in the hand of God. God can bless us and make us rich. God has rich children. And God has his children also that trust him for whatever they need, and he supplies their needs at the time that they need it. For the first and foremost thing is to do what? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Praise ye the Lord. Children, may I tell you that this your parent that you see, most of these your parents, when they were young, when they were in adolescent stage, when they were in when they were young, you see, many of them were seeking for the kingdom of God. They were running for the kingdom of God. Not like the way you are doing today. What you are running after is money. All this, your parents then, they were striving and running. They hear about this, they go there, they hear about this, about running for the kingdom of God. May God help you. You see, the first thing that we should run after, the first thing that we should seek after is the kingdom of God. Then leave the rest to God. And with God now, okay, we have read the scripture, of course. God knows you have need of all these things. God knows I have need of all these things. And God will not see his child suffering without meeting their needs. May God have mercy on us. That is why Brother Abraham said, God put the task in us to seek after him. That is the first thing. Then these other things, God will add it to us. Let's bow down our heads. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This thirst, seek God the way you quench this thirst by the Holy Ghost. First, let this thirst that God put in you be satisfied by the water of life. That is the first thing. And then God, who knows that you need all those things, he will supply your needs. Why don't you commit yourself unto God? as we bring the service to an end, if you want to be remembered in prayer, why don't you raise up your hand to the Lord for his servant to pray for us. God bless you, sir.
Gracious Father, we thank you very much for your words that we have just heard again. In continuation of the message that we have been listening to, Thirsting for Life. Dear Father, Lord, as we have been shown that there are two types of life. There is this mortal life that comes to an end. And there is eternal life that has no beginning and has no end. And that is what your word, in conclusion, has told us to seek first before any other thing. And in most cases, as human beings, we want to do every other thing and later come back to a matter of eternal life when we are not sure of when that will come. Dear Father, if there be anyone in this congregation who is not in possession of this life, we pray that you remember such tonight, Lord, that you feed them with your life, dear God. Lord, those that you have given this life unto, we want more of it in abundance to the overflow that will help us to be a better Christian. Lord, more worthy ambassador. Lord, a true witness of your resurrection, of your power, of your witness of holiness. Grant it unto us, dear Father. And whatsoever be the desire of your people, the hands that are up, whether for themselves or for others, thou art God and knowest all things. Whatsoever request is behind the hands, Master, may you attend to those requests. May you grant it unto your children, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Your word that we have heard tonight, it contains a lot of nuggets. Lord Jesus, may we bind this in our hearts. May the evil spirit not steal them away, Father, as we meditate upon them. May he gear us up and steer us up into prayers, unto dedication, unto, Lord, better life of service for you, O God. Dear Master, be gracious unto every one of us. Thank you for your word that has come to us. Thank you for the effect of it in our life. We pray, dear God of heaven, that your spirit will water it day and night in our heart, that might grow, O God, to bring forth expected fruits in hundredfold, Father. The vessel your servant you have used tonight, may you recall him back. May you replenish him for the virtue that has left him. May you lift up the honor of his ministry. Father, we want to ask, O God, as many of you have used today among your children, one thing or the other, whether to preach, whether to interpret, whether as Sunday school teacher or superintendent or officers or song leaders or instrument users, whichever way that your children have surrendered themselves unto you today to be used, or those that are even sang special, whatsoever, in whichever way you have brought blessings unto us, those that stay back on the ground and pray, that it's only you that knew. Master, may you reward your people. This race, may none of us run it in vain, Father. Give us grace to run it to the end, that at the end of it, none of us will reap a check of damnation. All that we have had today may not be a condemnation to us at the end of this life journey. This new week that we have just started today, we have seen the beginning by your grace, and you are the only one that knows the end of it. We want to humbly ask that you guide us through this week, that you will lead us through this week, that the pillar of fire will go before us and clear the way of every evil that the enemy might have put across. Give us good and perfect, Lord. Supply all our needs, both spiritually and physically. These children that are on holiday, may you help them to use their holiday wisely. Thank you, Eternal Father. Those that have journeys, may your grace see them through. May your protection be upon everyone. Bless the work of the hands of your children. Rebuke devourers for our sake. Thank you, Eternal Father. The services of this week, may they draw us still closer unto you. Blessed be your wonderful name. Shortly we'll depart this auditorium to go back to our homes. You brought us safely, O God, in the morning, and you have blessed us abundantly, As we depart, may you take us home safely. May your angel guide the way, dear Father. Thank you, Master. Thank you for bringing your servant that went to Bakatele back also. May you recall him and replenish his strength. Blessed be your wonderful name. We ask this petition with faith and thanksgiving in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Professor, did you get a copy of that thing? You have not checked yet. Go and check and make sure that there will be one, but later. I want it today, Gan. Not later than today. It's today I want it. Okay. All right. Brother Oluwaseun, I saw him somewhere now. Salami. Okay. Okay, please, I want to see you before you go home. This week, where we have journeys for some of the ministers before them, next week, Tuesday, the evangelist will be embarking on a journey, not this week, Tuesday, next week, Tuesday. We are embarking on a journey to the north, which will span to early next month. And Brother Joseph also have a journey to Delta State, also missionary trip. And he might take off this week. It also span for 2 to 3 weeks. But the takeoff date is not certain yet. When it's certain, in case we come next Sunday and we say he has traveled, maybe we say, why did we tell you today? It's because of the some uncertainty around the takeoff date. And myself, Pastor Nat, wanted me to be with them next week Sunday. Just only that day, just to come and greet them and say hello. It's been quite some time. So just to get there, say hello, I come back. And so I convert your prayers also for joining mercies. And for the grace to be able to say the hello properly and return back by God's grace. God bless you richly. So all of that program ahead of us will be getting across as the time proceeds. God bless you. Shall we rise?